Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come together to think about these things, to study your word. What a privilege it is to be able to do that. And we just pray that right now we would focus in, that we would learn what it means to be patient. Just guide us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a pretty difficult fruit to study. One of the reasons why it's kind of everywhere, but not super defined anywhere. And so it's hard to find a passage that I want to preach on to talk about patience. Even, you know, we understand in some ways what it means to be patient, but then when you think about how would you define that patience biblically, then you start to think, well, maybe I don't know patience as well as I thought I was. And it was a difficult sermon to prepare for, and I knew it would be right from the get-go, because often when you're studying something, that is the thing that God puts in your life, in which you have to actually use in your life. So I knew that this week would be particularly stressful, that a lot of patience would be needed, and it was, in fact, true. It happened. I was constantly reminding myself throughout the week, just be patient, be patient. It's funny how that happens, but it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? We've looked at love, joy, peace, and now patience, a fruit of the Spirit. There's an illustration I found of Gladys and Rhonda, and they were walking along the sidewalk after church. They were on their way home from church, thinking about the meals they had planned for later that afternoon, and casually discussed the morning service. "That was a great sermon on patience," remarked Rhonda. Gladys just said, "Yeah, but he went 5 minutes long." Patience. It's something that's deeply needed in the Christian life. And I called it an accompanying fruit because it's something that we always need in our life. When we're being loving, it revolves around being patient as well. When we need to have joy, we need to have it with patience. But we need to have this patience. In Colossians 3:12, it says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And it's kind of interesting. I didn't really pick up on it because I went into Matthew when I did this parable. But in Luke chapter 8, verse 15... chapter 8, verse 15, when he's talking about the parable of the different seeds, he says, "As for that," or the soils, I should say, "as for that good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Isn't that kind of interesting? They bear fruit with patience. So it's one of the marks of a believer, as truly as it is a fruit of the Spirit. And as I said, it was hard to find a passage to think about how do I talk about this patience. So what I want to do here at the get-go is just define what patience is. Patience defined. What does it mean to be patient from a godly perspective? Well, the word patience is macrothumio. There's actually two of them. That's one of them that is mainly used for patience. It is literally be long-tempered or long-suffering. There is this idea of wading through the trials of life calmly. Actually, a dictionary puts it this way. Patience refers to either remaining calm while waiting for something or enduring in the face of opposition. And so you can kind of understand that. It's remaining calm while waiting for something. All of us have probably wanted to maybe purchase something big, right? And while you're waiting for that, you have to have patience, right? And so there's nothing bad happening. It's a good thing, right? But as you are waiting for that thing, either getting the money or whatever, right, you have to have patience until you acquire that. You can also think of enduring in the face of opposition, right? You've probably been in a moment in life where someone might annoy you or something happens and you're just waiting for the moment where you're not going to be in that position anymore, right? And one of the things you need is patience as you endure that trial until the end. And so those are the two ways in which patience are applied in our life. It's very interesting. Sometimes we think of patience as waiting because you can't do anything, right? You're in a trial and you just have to wait through it. But patience can also be waiting even though you can do something, right? Even though you could fight back, right? You patiently wait through it because you know that's what God wants you to do. So that's patience as macrothumio. There's another one, hypomone, is often translated as endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. And so you have that idea as well. Both of those words are used throughout Scripture. Patience is generally applies to people, where endurance, hypomone, is more circumstances, right? You have endurance through trials, and you have patience with people. But both words are often used together as well. So that is patience, long-suffering, being long-tempered. But I want to get into the weeds a little bit more before we get into one of our main texts today, and that is to think of patience not as passive. Patience isn't passive. It's actually active. In Hebrews, it says we are to run with endurance. That endurance is that same idea as patience, but we're supposed to be running with that. When you're patient, you're not just sitting there doing nothing. In fact, sometimes it's a lot of work to be patient. It takes a lot of effort to do that. And so don't think of your patience as me doing nothing. That is not how you want to think about it. So it's not passive, but it's also seen with other character traits of the Christian life. You can think of love is patient, right? Love is kind. It's in tandem with those. Don't think of patience as a single aspect of your Christian life all by its lonesome self here, right? It's with the other virtues, the characters, and the fruits there as well. Even in Colossians 1:11, it says here, that's not 1:11, here's 1:11. It says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, right? So you're supposed to have that patience and you're supposed to have it with joy. All right, so that's patience defined a little bit. Think of long suffering, think of being long tempered with someone. But patience till he comes. Turn to James with me. We'll be here for a bit. James chapter 5, verse 7. Here in James chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, we see that idea of waiting for something. I think of it as eagerness, right? You are eager for something, so you have to be patient till that thing happens. Waiting for a desired outcome. And so it says here, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And so we're waiting for that desired outcome, and we're supposed to be patient, and that desired outcome is the coming of the Lord. Again, you can think of patience as waiting for a desired outcome, illustrated with a parent telling a kid they are going to get ice cream, right? From the moment you tell that kid they are going to get ice cream, then there's a time frame. And until they get that ice cream, they have to be patient. And often you say that you'll tell them, oh, you need to wait till you get ice cream. But they don't just have to wait, right? They have to wait patiently. And so we need to be clear to distinguishing the waiting from the patience. You can wait for a very long time impatiently, but it's important that we wait patiently. And so Patience is the attitude that we have while we're enduring the time it takes to get the ice cream. Or at least that he gets the ice cream. So he doesn't have any obstacles in his way. The only obstacle or tribulation that he has from the point he's told to get, he's going to get ice cream, to the point he actually gets it, is time. Time almost becomes the obstacle in his life. And it's important to understand that because our attitude in that waiting, that patience, is matters. He could wait impatiently or patiently, right? One of them might get scolded. One of them won't get. When we're talking about biblically waiting, waiting on the Lord, we can be impatiently waiting or we can be patiently waiting for his return. Again, we are to be, as it says twice there, verse 7 and 8, wait, be patient until the coming of the Lord, until the coming of the Lord. But it's hard to wait if you lose sight of the outcome, the coming of the Lord. He even gives us this illustration. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. If you've ever tried to plant something, this is planting season, right? It takes a long time from when you plant to when you actually get your fruit. It takes a lot of patience. And the thing that you need to keep in mind as you're looking for that, as you think ahead, is the precious fruit, right? You understand, I'm going to plant this. It's going to take some time. I need to be patient. But at the end of the road, there is the precious fruit. And you would think about that farmer. Think if he didn't have that perspective. What if he went into it thinking, I'm never going to get fruit out of this? Well, if he had that perspective, he's probably not going to water it. He's probably not going to do the work to tend, to care it, to keep it, to get rid of the weeds. He's going to lose focus and he'll probably lose his crop. The thing that he has to keep in mind is, I'm going to have my precious fruit at the end of this. I need to be patient. He has his eyes on the prize, much like we have to have our eyes on the prize, waiting for the coming of the Lord. That is what we need to have as our desired outcome for our Christian life. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how the greater the outcome, the harder it tends to be to wait. And so I'll use ice cream. Again, ice cream. You might wake up every day. Every day you might eat ice cream every night. And so you wake up every day, you don't really think about it, you go all day long, and you might get to supper, you might think, oh, okay, after supper, I'm going to eat ice cream like I always do, right? There's not much patience needed. You know you're going to get it. You always get it. And that's a lot different from the person who says, I'm going to go on a really long diet, and at the end of 3 months, I'm going to treat myself with some ice cream after I've lost all my weight. And so now all of a sudden, that same item now becomes a lot more important to the person. The outcome is greater after 3 months, and all of a sudden that patience, right, needs to be a lot stronger. They need to wait a lot more, and so it's going to be a lot harder for them. And it would be easy at that person dieting to get frustrated, angry, annoyed, disheartened as they're waiting to eat the ice cream again. And that is how we can be with Christ. There's a reason why here in this passage, 6 different times he mentions to be patient. Verse 7, be patient, therefore. Again in verse 8, be patient. Again in verse 10, the example of suffering and patience. In 8, I missed it. And then also steadfast and steadfastness are also that hypomone. We are to be patient as we wait for the coming of the Lord. It can be difficult if we lose sight of our outcome, right? If we get distracted with this world, with the circumstances of this world, if we get disheartened, if we get angry, if we get frustrated, then we will start to become impatient. And so we need to be reminded that our Lord is coming again, and we need to live life in accordance with that. So that is patience defined, again, long-suffering and patience till he comes again, that eagerness. That should be our ultimate outcome in life, the thing we are always waiting for, expecting, eager for him to come again is the Lord. And so till he comes again. And so the other aspect in which we need patience is with man. Very often, we need patience with people. People can be frustrating. Believers can be frustrating. You guys are frustrating. No, I'm just kidding. It can happen easily. And so we're going to look at our text now. I know it's been a little while, but I wanted to hit that, James. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. The text that Pastor Bill read for you earlier. It says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Patience with man. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, who do we need to be patient with? And that's one of the things this text answers for us, which is everyone. Be patient with them all. But he gives us those specific people. The first one is admonish the idle. That's one of the people we need to be patient with, is the idle person. And that idle is kind of interesting in the Greek. It can be idle as in they don't do anything, lazy idea, but also, more likely, and I would say unruly, this idea of being, unruly or out of bounds. In other extra-biblical Greek, it is often a military term, referred to a soldier who is out of rank and behaving disorderly. So admonish the disorderly, the unruly, the person who is out of bounds. You can think of this as the friend who is always asking for advice but never really listens to it. I'm pretty sure we all have that person, right? They come to you and they're like, "I don't know what to do. I'm doing this thing. I wish I knew what to do." And you say, "Well, biblically, you should do this thing." And they go, "Yeah, I know, but I don't know." And then they keep doing the thing they aren't supposed to do, and you say, "You're supposed to do this thing, and you know you're supposed to do it." And they say, "I know, but I just can't get myself to do it." And so you have to keep admonishing them, warning them. That is the admonishing. It's in the King James Version, it says warn. It's to alert them of the consequences of their action. Look, if you keep going down this road, this is going to be the result of your life, and you don't want to have that happen. And so you keep admonishing them and warning them and warning them and warning them, and you think to yourself, "How long am I going to have to do this?" And that's why you have to have patience. Keep on going. Keep on admonishing them. But they're not the only people in this world who you need to be patient with. You also need to encourage the faint-hearted. That faint-hearted is almost the opposite of the unruly. They are the people who are downhearted. It literally translated, it's small-souled. They are those who are eager to quit and serve only when it's safe, only when it's convenient for them. And for those people, we are supposed to encourage them. That literally means to speak alongside, offer them comfort, consolation, to be with them and remind them that, hey, God loves you, God answers prayers, God is going to guide you, he's going to be with you, he's going to help you. And so they need a lot of encouragement in this life. And people, again, you have to be patient with them, because we like to go into those scenarios thinking, "Man, I'm just going to tell them that God loves them and everything's going to be great." But we all know that's not how it goes, right? You have to remind them again and again, God is your comfort. He is going to guide you. He's going to help you if you do the things that he wants you to do. And it takes a long time. And again, there's another person who we need to be patient with, and that is the weak. He says, help the weak. People who can't help themselves. And this isn't necessarily talking about physical weakness, or it could be seen as that as well, but more fragile in faith, those susceptible to sin. Those kind of people, we need to help them. We need to hold them firmly, to cling to support, to hold them up. That's what it means to help them, to be with them, to guide them. It takes a lot of effort to hold someone up, even if it is mentally, sometimes more effort, right? And so we need to be there to help them. Hold fast to the weak is a literal translation of that. And then he closes that little section, again, I'll come back to this, with be patient with them all. As believers, we need to be patient with all those people. We need to be patient with everyone we come alongside. But that can often be difficult, demanding, disappointing, argumentative, annoying, discouraging. It can be a lot of different things when you're trying to help someone. Patience is required. I think even more patience, this is talking about believers with believers, and I think you need to be more patient with believers. It's easy for me to expect someone who's not a believer to not rely on God, right? To kind of falter in many ways because they don't have that background, they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. But when a believer is constantly going down the wrong road, it can be hard, it can be disheartening when they keep going that road and you keep admonishing them, hey, don't do that. When you're admonishing, encouraging, and helping someone multiple times a day and nothing changes, frustration can happen. Again, discouragement can happen, so you must remind yourself, I need to be patient. So that's patience with man. And then you have the outcome of patience as our final point here. The outcome of patience. He says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. The outcome of patience is not to do evil. If you are patiently waiting to do evil, that is not what you are called to. And it's really interesting when you think about this from Paul writing this, it's clear that someone at one point did evil to someone who was a believer. A believer did something evil to another believer. And what is Paul saying here? Don't repay that evil for evil. You don't have the right to do that. And so even when someone harms you, even if someone's being annoying, the right response isn't to get quickly frustrated and angry and lash out at them and do evil against them. Paul says, no, take a moment, take a breather, be patient, and don't repay evil with evil. Instead, seek to do good with everyone. Anger is often kind of the opposite of patience. In Proverbs 15, I'll just read it for you, you don't have to turn there, 15:18, it says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. The one who is slow to anger is the one that quiets contention, not the hot-tempered person. Anger is often quick. It's a quick decision. You quickly get angry, your emotions are aroused, and you lash out at someone. That is not. You want to slow the tempo down. As James says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Slow it down and be patient. Patient. Don't seek to do that evil, that anger. Instead, seek to do good. Right? The outcome of patience, one of them is to do good, as he says there. Seek to do good to one another and to everyone. It's interesting that he highlights both of those, one another and everyone. He could have just said everyone, but he says to one another, make sure that even with believers, again, it's often more hurtful when another believer does something wrong against you. Because you know they shouldn't be doing that. Everyone in the situation knows what they should and shouldn't be doing. And so it hurts a lot when that happens. You're close to them. You're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so much patience is required. And you have to remind yourself, I need to be slow to speak and slow to anger. I need to be willing to forgive this person. And I need to seek to do good to this person, even if they're seeking to do evil against me. And the perspective of that matters, right? You're patient, patiently seeking to do good because you have that ultimate perspective in mind, right? Until the coming of the Lord. For the sake of the kingdom of God, it's not about you, it's about what is going to glorify God the most. Not that you don't matter, but you don't matter, right? It's what happens in light of God's eyes that matters. You want to be an example always of good, of what is holy, what is right. Example of what it means to be Christ-like in this life. Again, our patience is, as believers, encompassed by thinking about the kingdom of heaven, thinking about what it means to glorify God. Many people are patient in this life for selfish gain. That's not godly patience, right? A lot of people will patiently wait till the moment they get a raise, till they get whatever. Selfish gain, but Christian patience is to glorify Christ. You look at the situation you're in and you say, yeah, this person hurt me. Yes, I need to be patient, but it's not about me in the sense that I need to think about what is going to glorify God most in this situation as I'm patiently waiting for an outcome. That's why we show self-control, love, kindness, all that. We think about it in light of promoting the kingdom of God to others through our patience. And so in conclusion, patience is to be long-tempered, long-suffering. Patience is one of those interesting things where it is never easy. It's always hard. Whenever you have to be patient, it's because you have to be patient for something. It takes a lot of effort to do that. And we have to do that till he comes again. That's our focus in life. That's what we should ultimately have an eagerness for. We all have those things that we want to buy in life that we're patiently waiting for, but how much more eager should we be for Christ to come again? How much more patience should that require of us? And so we should have that as the goal in our minds always, but we need to, as we are waiting for that, be patient with man. And again, remember that the outcome of that patience is too good, to do good to others so we can glorify our Heavenly Father the most. When people wrong you, you need to remember, I need to have patience in this situation. And as I'm patiently waiting for an outcome, I need to think, what is going to be the best thing I can do that is going to do good to others to most glorify my Heavenly Father? And I think if we do that, we would all be much better off, much more godly, much more Christ-like in our life. And so let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to look at patience, to think about it a little bit more in-depthly. Just help us to be long-tempered. Help us to be long-suffering with people. Help us to be eagerly waiting for your return, but to do it patiently. But help us to be also excited about that, ready for your return when you come. In Jesus' name, amen.